Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studio, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX. Now here's your host, Brett Amundson.
All right, welcome to the show. I am Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson right there. Dan, how's it going?
Hey, it's doing pretty good. How are you?
Thanks for tuning in on this station right here, by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, or by downloading the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or by watching the show on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. Got a lot to get to this week. We're going to talk about fishing salmon in Alaska with Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company, and also Ben Bredigan from OnX. If you're friends with them, if you follow them on social media, you saw that it looked like they had no fun at all up there. So we're going to talk to them about their experience up there and what you might want to know about fishing up there, because it might not be quite what you'd expect it to be. Also, Eric Osberg has a new initiative about living in rural Minnesota in Otter Tail Lakes country and why you might enjoy it there. He'll tell us more about that. And he did do some fishing on a lake that he hasn't done well on in the past. We'll tell you how he attacked it this time around and how he did out there. And then Joe Henry tells us about getting across that Canadian border for the Northwest angle and what it's like, if there's wait times or what you need, or what you need if you just want to fish in Canadian waters and just go back and forth in your boat without touching land in Canada, because that was kind of a surprise change that recently happened. So Joe Henry will tell us more in just a little bit. Dan, who is sponsoring our show this week?
Yeah, Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan a trip to Lake of the Woods at Lake of the Woods MN. Obviously, lots going on up there now. Otter Tail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake in North Dakota. Plan a trip to Devil's Lake at haybaleheights.com. The best app out on the App Store, OnX Hunt. Know where you stand with OnX. And our favorite TV show, Prairie Sportsman. You can watch episodes anytime at prairiesportsman.org.
How you feeling, Dan?
You know, I've been better. Honestly, I've been better. You know, with the news of the border opening, I thought, I've been putting off the vaccine, and I thought, well, it's time, you know, let's see if we can maybe sneak up there in September or this winter, or just be ready to go for next summer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a requirement we need to cross the border. So I went and got that done yesterday, and it's kicked my butt, say the least. You know, it was a sleepless night, but it's a small price to pay for getting across border, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way it was for me. Now, I got the Pfizer. I got two shots, and the first one was fine. Second one, I woke up in the middle of the night, did not feel good. It lasted about 2 hours, and I felt better. And then I just had kind of I was just a little off for about 5 days after that, and then it went away, and I was fine. You got the Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, I did. I wanted I'll be traveling a lot here and didn't want to have to be tied back to getting a second dose somewhere. Let's get one and done. And the doctor said about 40% of people are going to have some side effects. And so, yeah, I was in that 40%, I guess. And honestly, as we've been doing the show, feeling better and better and better, I guess. He said it's typically only a 24-hour thing. So hopefully coming out of this a little bit. But yeah, it's not fun. But yeah, it shows that I guess that means it's working. So
that's what they say. Well, hopefully we'll be going up to Canada here soon. And that obviously is a requirement to get across the border. So many things to do. I don't know if we're going to have time to get up there yet this year. Hopefully I'd like to get up and do some waterfowl hunting. Of course, I still got to get my passport renewed. And if you're in the same boat that I am, it is a long delay right now to get passports renewed or to get a passport. So if you're planning to get up there this fall, now is the time to go do that. Hey, Dan, I saw some pretty cool stuff in that last newsletter that you sent out. Do we have the picture from that last newsletter?
Sure do.
The pick of the week. It is right there. Oh, hey, that's Corey. I know that guy.
It is Corey. Yeah, so this one was snapped by his intern, Keenan Mackey, and it's been time to harvest some green beans for Corey. So that's what they've been doing, and Keenan snapped this pretty cool picture. Like I said, lots going on this time of year, and that's one of them. It's time to start harvesting.
Tag us in your photos on social media, and we might feature you in the SJR Insider newsletter. If you don't receive that yet, we just email you once a week. Dan handles a lot of that work. And are you showing us the newsletter right there? Oh, yeah, there it is. So this is what it looks like, and we'll send this right to your inbox to keep you updated on everything that's happening in the outdoor world here in our region. I love anything from the office you could put in there, Dan. That's always good. But border opening information you can find in this week's newsletter, the SJR Insider. Check it out now at sportingjournalradio.com. And I just want to say one thing. Our thoughts are with Craig Holgate. He is somebody, he signed off this week. He's a longtime broadcaster up in northeast Minnesota. I know him because of WNMT, and that is one of our affiliates up there. He was also on WTBX 93.9 FM. He's been battling cancer for a few years now, and he's finally going off the radio. It's always a sad day when you hear about another one of your radio compadres signing off. But we wish Craig well, and we thank him for allowing us to come into the his radio family up there in northeastern Minnesota. So good luck, Craig. We'll be thinking about you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Corey Loeffler and Ben Bredigan. Don't go anywhere.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm gonna fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to ottertaillakescountry.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Dan and I have been talking about making plans to go to Game Fair, which is coming up. And we've got a couple of other guys that are going to be at Game Fair. Well, Corey, I know you're getting packed, so we're going to bring you on right away. And Ben, Corey Loeffler, DRC Call Company, and Ben Bredigan on X. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Thanks for being on the show. Well, there's stuff going on with both of you guys that I wanted to talk about. But first of all, you were both together up in Alaska recently, and it just looked like no fun at all.
Record number of reds or sockeye salmon running in the Kenai River, partially because of a commercial fishery shutdown. And man, we couldn't keep them off the line. It was tight lines and full backpacks all weekend.
So it was so you've been going up there for a few years. That's the best you've ever seen it?
Oh, by far the best I've ever seen or fished in. It's a pretty loaded topic, but the king salmon are the big dogs, and their populations are kind of struggling, and I would attribute it to a lot to do with the trawlers. And so what the trawlers are doing, they're out off, typically off the shores of Kodiak Island, and they are trawling for Alaskan pollock. So if you see that on a fast food sign as you're driving by, fresh, wild caught Alaskan pollock fish sandwiches, something like that, I would encourage you to keep on driving because they are not sustainably caught. The king salmon and a lot of small halibut, they basically are trawling for those pollock in the halibut nurseries. And so they are just very detrimental to a lot of the salmon species populations and the small halibut populations as well. So the Alaskan pollock thing, I'm not a huge fan of that. And it was kind of tough to see the commercial fishing, the gill netters get shut down that are trying to gill net those Kenai red salmon or Kenai sockeyes out in the ocean. It's kind of tough to see those guys get shut down because that's a very sustainable resource. And but they're trying to keep the numbers up for the Kenai kings, which we saw a mounted one at one of my friends' house up there, Jess Richardson. He's got a Kenai king on his wall that goes 89.5 pounds, and the thing stretches over the span of his doorway, and it's absolutely fantastic. So they're really just trying to bring that fishery back. That's why the commercial shutdown was there, and that's, I think, has a big part to do with why the red run was so insanely productive this year and we saw so many fish. But if you jump on the Alaskan Fishing Game website, you can see the daily counts of fish that are running up the rivers. And so we were able to keep an eye on the fish counts as we were fishing. And man, we saw, Ben, what did we see? Days up over 150,000, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And you told me, you said, don't expect to see this again anytime soon. It was absolutely wild.
I got us all jumbled up here on the screen. Sorry about that. I'm learning something here. Yeah, Ben, had you ever been up there for that before?
No, I had never been up there before, never been to Alaska. And up until about like 2.5 weeks ago, I had no intentions anytime soon. Until a week before the trip, Corey says, hey, you want to go to Alaska? All right.
Yeah, hard to pass up that one.
And it's something that, it's like elk hunting. It's something that it would be hard to go a year without doing, just because it was, it's Alaska. And even if the fishing was half or a quarter as good, it was just an awesome experience.
Well, it's Alaska and it's fishing, which is great. And, you know, I've been hearing about it for a few years now, and it's almost like you get an image in your head of what is actually happening up there. And then when you see it, it's a little bit different. Like Corey, watching some of your snaps or your Instagram stories of watching it, and you were one handing it, obviously, because you were filming too. You were out in the water, out in the river, you got a bait casting reel, but you're not really casting. You're just kind of flipping something out there and just kind of bringing it back. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of casting, as you know, like I'm picturing guys casting across this river and, you know, some sort of finesse fishing or something like that. So that's not really the case, is it?
No, not really. Typically the reds and a few other salmon species will just, they're traveling from the ocean upstream to their breeding grounds. And while they're doing that, like say the Kenai River or the Copper River are extremely fast rivers, and especially out in the middle, the current's the strongest, and then by the banks, the current is the weakest. So a lot of those salmon typically will migrate along the shores or along the banks of the river, and then that's why they're fairly easy to catch, because you can go stand in knee deep or shin deep water and flip your line out there, and the fish, Ben and I, we had polarized glasses on, and we saw thousands and thousands of fish within 3 to 5 feet of us. Like I said, standing in shin deep water.
Are they bumping into you at all when you're, are they swimming around you at least? Or are they bumping into you?
Yeah, I've had them bump into me a few times.
That's pretty cool.
Especially when Ben tail hooks one or something, goes ripping around all over the place. Kind of tough.
Man, Ben, so were you surprised at how the fishing, you know, like the techniques to catch those fish, Ben?
Yeah, so I was, you know, initially reading up on it just because I didn't really know. I didn't have a whole lot of information. And reading up on it, it was like a little, I guess you could say, controversial. Like I wasn't, it's like, oh, this is cool. Like it sounds like it's essentially just snagging. But then after going and doing it, there's a lot of skill that goes into it. And it's, you know, you have to be really dialed in, and a difference between a 4 foot leader, a 3 foot leader, and a 5 foot leader will completely change the game. So there's a lot of skill that goes into it. It's definitely a learning curve, and you know, there's some people that do it the wrong way. And Corey, like you were saying, you were kind of taught the right way to do it, and it's ridiculously effective.
Well, and the beauty of it is, I think it's managed tightly. I mean, it's regulated, and it's, you know, you guys are up there for the meat. Like it's the meat is so good from those fish that you're not, obviously they're not going to waste. You're not just up there killing fish or whatever. You're filling freezers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I really love about Alaska and the Alaskan people and the way that they make rules, which is quite a bit different than what we see in Minnesota, but they make their rules and they will allow you to responsibly make hay when the sun shines. When the reds are in, they'll allow you to go and get them. When the caribou are in, they'll allow you to go and get them. As long as you're doing it with respect to that natural resource and you're utilizing every part of that or game that you can. So with the way the possession limits work with those fish, once you have that fish, and I think the law reads something like, once you have it so that it could sustain 30 days in its current state. So like if you smoked it and dried it out, well, it could sustain 30 days, sitting on the counter like that or in the fridge. If you froze it rock hard and had it in your deep freeze, it can obviously sustain 30 days that way as well. So once that fish is basically taken care of and prepared, it is not counted in your possession limit. So they allow you to go out there, and basically if you're making use of them, you can go out and get as many as you want, as many as you're going to use for the year. So that's what the trip is for myself and for my family. I do it basically every year, and I go up there and fillet fish like a madman. Ben took over that job most of the time this trip, and he has gotten good at filleting salmon, I tell you that.
Just don't eat the first or second day salmon. By the end of the trip, they got to be a lot better.
Had a little practice by the end.
Yeah. So we know what we're doing up there and done it for many years, and we get those fish, we get them filleted, we get them frozen, and as fast as we can. We actually were able to vacuum seal them up there this year, which is super convenient, and then fly them, check them like a checked luggage coming home, fly them home, and we were able to bring over 100 pounds of fish home with us, and that'll for sure get us through the year. And I've got three girls and a wife, and they all absolutely just love salmon, and I love putting that food on the table too, just because it's so healthy. It's wild caught, wild raised salmon. The fats in the meat, I mean, it's delicious, and all those natural fish fats are awesome for a whole slew of different things for your body. So
if I come see you at game fair, are you going to be able to have some of that cooking up behind the booth back there or what?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'll have a frozen raw package in the cooler so you can see the color. The color is like none other. But yeah, we're going to be cooking salmon every day at game fair. Absolutely.
All right. What do you got? You got a new call. What are people going to be able to find at your booth this year, Corey?
Oh man, we've been hard on the clothing prep for game fair. So we have so many new shirts, new shirt designs. I've got a shirt with Rue on it, and we've got some Goose Wizard stuff, and we've got new colors, new designs that are going to be on the shelves. We've been printing and packaging those things. Like, we print everything all in-house, and so we've been working hard on those. And then we've got that new call, the Squeaker Tweaker. We'll have a bunch of those to try out, and then the rest of the lineup as well.
Can I just say, I spent the night at your house, like a couple of days before you announced this thing. Not one word. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't even know, like, all of a sudden this huge launch crashes the website 100 times. Didn't hear one thing about it while I was up there, Corey.
Oh man, it's pretty private information around here. My lips were sealed. So
that's cool. Tell us about that call while I let Tiny outside real quick.
Well, we had a giant request for a custom short drop, and that was everyone wanted a Psycho mouthpiece, which is a little bit longer. Psycho is another model of call that we have. Wanted a Psycho mouthpiece with a short drop insert, so a call that's just going to break over a little bit easier, take a little less pressure to break over and blow a little bit easier, but still get that high-pitched cackler sound out that's so popular down in Oklahoma and Texas, and when the lessers and the little geese come through the Dakotas. So they wanted that high pitch, but they wanted it a little bit easier to blow. So we combined the two, short drop, insert, Psycho mouthpiece, came up with that squeaker tweaker hybrid. Feedback has been pretty good this far. So,
hey, I did want to ask you though, this came up in conversation last week a little bit on the show about the e-posting in North Dakota, and even ND Game and Fish put out a webcast and they brought up Onyx in that webcast a little bit. We're going to be able to use Onyx. You know, a lot of guys are going to be going over there for early goose, whatever. We're going to be able to see some of the land that's e-posted on the Onyx app.
Yep, exactly. You'll be able to see all the same things you can on the North Dakota Game and Fish website. So it'll all be integrated on the North Dakota e-posting layer. So, and the nice thing is after it's posted, it doesn't change. So you can, that information is going to be accurate. Obviously, you know, farmers can still physically post it. So just because it's not e-posted doesn't mean it's not posted. So you still have to check that out. But I think it's going to be a great thing. It's really helpful for scouting, just knowing even what, you know, what areas you can't touch this year, based on, you know, sitting in the comfort of your own home. So, it'll be in there, and it'll be in there, before the season's open. So.
Very good. And yeah, obviously ND Game and Fish website has some information on e-posting if you're still curious about it, or we've got some interviews and a bunch of videos and some more info at sportingjournalradio.com. Corey, I know you got to get down to Game Fair. I know you're literally loading up the truck right now and getting ready to get out of here. So I appreciate the time. We'll let you guys go. Go see the DRC Calls booth at Game Fair this year. Look for Ben and the Onyx guys walking around the grounds. We're going to be out there too, wandering the grounds a little bit. So hopefully we'll see you guys down there, and good luck, and thanks for being on the show.
Sounds perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
What do you need to know to fish in Canadian waters at a place like Lake of the Woods? Joe Henry will tell us next.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right. Hey, there we go. Hey, what's going on? Thanks for tuning in on this station right here. By demand, anywhere you get your favorite podcasts or at sportingjournalradio.com. Dan Amundson is with us right over there. And Joe Henry is in the middle. Joe, how's it going?
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. I don't know if there's much to talk about when it comes to fishing border waters or being up around Canada or Lake of the Woods or anything like that. Is there anything to talk about, Joe, at all?
Well, you know what? I'm going to let you decide. Now, let's paint a scenario for you. So, Brett Amundson, you know what? Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to say that all that Canadian water that's adjacent to the northwest angle, you know, it's already one of the best fisheries in the world. So what we're going to do, just for a trial, is we're going to let it sit and basically be unfished for two straight summers. And then we're going to open it up. What do you think is going to happen?
Fishing is going to be really good.
They're freaking jumping in the boat. I mean, I'm talking to muskie anglers. Holy smokes. I'm talking to walleye anglers. There was a group of older gentlemen who've been coming to the angle for years. And, of course, when they knew the border was going to open Monday, August 9th, they were ready to roll early in the morning. So they shot out of the resort around, I think it was just a little before 7. They're back at 8:30 with two limits of walleyes, and they said, oh, my Lord, it was bloody. So all the reports are so good. So Northwest Angler Resorts are definitely open for business. You can fish both the Minnesota side of the Northwest Angle, like always, or you are allowed to venture over into Ontario waters. And fishing has been just phenomenal. And then, of course, that brings us to, you know, travel. How do you get up there, right?
Well, let's just talk about fishing in Canadian waters for just a second, because originally, I don't think that was part of the message, right? Originally, when they talked about opening the border, you could travel across, but you still wouldn't be able to fish on the other side if you were on a border water like Lake of the Woods. And then the announcement came out that you can. Right? That was kind of a late addition, wasn't it?
It was. It was just a couple of days before.
And
so, we didn't know. I mean, we had no reason to believe. And in fact, there was articles out there in the media, which you got to be careful, but there were articles out in the media, including some attorneys quoted, that said no travel into Ontario, or I should say Canada waters. And so we had reason to believe that for some reason, the water portion wasn't going to open. But all of a sudden it is. And, you know, we have reason to believe, and, you know, I don't want to get in the weeds here, but there's a tree, I think it's called the Tree of 1909. Perhaps it's the Paris Treaty of 1909 that has some certain things in it. And I just wonder if there isn't something in there that helped make that decision possible. But nonetheless, it is true that you are allowed to go in. So what happens is when you go, if you go into, Ontario or Canada waters, and you are going to touch land or moor a boat or touch a dock or do whatever, then you have to check in, with normal requirements, with your Arrive Can app, with your, vaccination card uploaded to that, and with your PCR COVID test, otherwise known as molecular test, that's less than 72 hours old. So you have to report through to Canada. Now, if you are staying at the Northwest Angle, as an example, and you want a boat over into Ontario waters just for the day to go fishing, and you don't touch land, don't do a shore lunch or anything, you're just going to go fishing and not touch land, you don't even have to call in. You can just boat over into Ontario waters, do your deal, whack your fish all day long, and then boat back. You don't have to contact the 888 CAN pass number, which is how you normally would check into Canada if you were going to touch land. Now, if you are going to do a shore lunch, it doesn't have to be a huge deal in Ontario waters. You could simply call the 888 CAN pass and just make sure you have your credentials ready to roll, and they'll check you in.
So is it essentially like it was before?
Yes, it is. It is just like it was before. The caveat is, when you enter Canada and you're going to touch land, it's not like before because, you have to have the Arrive Can app and your vaccination card and your COVID test. But as far as going by boat and not touching land, it is the same. You can go over and boat over and no check-in required. And then, of course, you come back.
So the day before the border opened, I saw a picture in one of the Facebook groups on social media, one of the groups on Facebook, one of the fishing groups on Facebook is what I'm trying to say. And it was the lineup to go up to the angle. There was cars and trucks and boats backed up and people getting ready to get across the border. And at some of the other, I don't remember exactly. I think I heard maybe 6 hours was the wait to get across or something like that. I heard varied reports about it. And I heard some other people that took 5 hours, 8 hours at other points of entry and things like that. It took them 7.5 hours, Ty, to get across the border there. But I'd assume that was mainly for that first day, and it's probably calmed down quite a bit since then.
Well, and that was also that long wait you heard of, like 7 hour wait is what I heard, was mainly for the I Falls border.
Oh, okay.
Going up that way. Over on our neck of the woods, in fact, a lot of people, Brett, if they're going to be crossing the border to avoid that longer wait times in International Falls, head north, a lot of people will just take that 1 hour trip over to Bidette and go across the border there, even if it takes them a little bit out of their way, because ultimately they're saving time. In fact, what a lot of people that go to Canada fishing will do is they'll slide over to Bidette, have a nice meal, a couple drinks the night before, and then take off in the morning. Virtually no wait times at the border, or very low wait times at the border going across. Plus, it's kind of a fun place to hang your hat for a night and get refreshed before you slide on over. Start of your vacation. But that's why. And yeah, we didn't have the big long waits. We did have a lineup on the opening night, but not a big long wait like they did in other places.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that people were lining up. Like, I figured people would be excited to go, and, the morning that it opened up, they'd be, headed up to Canada. But I didn't even think about people lining up the night before to get across the next morning as soon as it opened up. Did it open at midnight?
Midnight, yeah. So it was a midnight thing, and that's why, gotcha. So I'm sure they wanted to be, let's get up there, or let's be on the water by the morning, daybreak, or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of excitement.
How's it, how are things, what are people up at the angle saying right now then? Are they pretty relieved
So here's the thing is that, okay, so when you travel up to the Northwest Angle, you got to have your credentials, you drive up, and then, you're up there, vacationing for a week or however many days you go. And then, of course, now you have to travel back south through Canada again. And, you're going to need a Canada Border Services Agency is saying that, you do need an active COVID test that's less than 72 hours. So you will need a new test coming south. So we're in the process of, getting tests and test kits available up at the Northwest Angle that will get you a result in about 20 to 25 minutes. So we have solutions that way. Some people are still coming up via, you know, North Country Air or Beaver Tours, which is the flight service. And some people are coming up via Lake of the Woods Passenger Service, which is a charter boat service that takes you from the south end of the lake, avoids all customs, gets you up to the northwest angle, and will take you back when you're done with your trip. The caveat there is that if you go by boat, Lake of the Woods Passenger Service or Lake Country Air, you can't bring your own boat with you. You'll have to rent a boat or get a guide.
So obviously the market will dictate the future of those passenger services, but are they planning just to stay in business? Were they kind of filling in? Oh, so it's they're planning to be around forever then.
Yeah, well, you know, forever is a long time, but I mean, yes, they don't plan on going away. Certainly, that filled a void during this time, but at the same time, you know, if you have anybody with a DUI that can't get through Canada, if you got a group of six people and one has a DUI and you can't get through Canada, you know, jumping on a charter boat or a plane on the way up would be great. Some people say, geez, the fishing is so good in the northwest angle, never realized it was that good. Maybe I don't have to drive so far north. The other thing is the accommodations of the resorts are so nice up at the northwest angle. I can fish both Minnesota waters. I can fish Ontario waters. You know, really have everything there. Some people like the North Country feel of taking a float plane up. It's quick, it's easy, and you know, it's just kind of that fly-in feel. So you're flying up to a local resort there, you're jumping in with very, very, very good guides up there that are gonna put you on fish. They're gonna do a shore lunch like you've never tasted before. I mean, it is a fun experience.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was kind of a temporary thing, like say the ice road was last winter or not, but that's cool. It's nice to have those options up there. And if Joe, if people want to learn more about those options or just about planning a trip to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
You know what? Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Thank you, Joe. When we come back, we're going to talk about that decision that some people make about where to live in life. What's important? Is it important to be close to your favorite lake so you can go fishing at any time? That's what's important to me. Or same with hunting. I can walk out my back door and do some hunting if I want to. We'll talk to Eric Osberg about that feeling when we come back.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, welcome back. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here or wherever you're getting this show. Maybe you're watching it on our social media channels. I appreciate that. Dan Amundson is with us as well. Dan, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Thanks for being with us. And also, now we're going to welcome Eric Osberg from Otter Tail Lakes Country. Eric, how are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on the show, of course, once again. And you have a project that you put out on social media the other day. I saw a video the other day, kind of a teaser of this new project that you're doing up there in Otter Tail Lakes Country. And I thought it was pretty interesting because it resonated with me quite a bit, because when people ask me where I live, they never have any idea where that is, because I live out in the country, out in western Minnesota. I am rural by choice, as they would say. And that's something that you guys are trying to promote in Otter Tail Lakes Country, in Otter Tail County, because it's such a great place to live up there, right?
It is. And this project, I'm super duper excited. I've been working with Otter Tail County for coming up on 5 years, and this might be the coolest thing we've done. We didn't really know what we wanted when we started. We knew what we were trying to do is we were trying to create a pilot episode for a series, whether it be Netflix or National Geographic or some place. That was our intent, was to create a pilot episode. And so we worked with Jenna and Micah Kavit and Corey Heppola, and we just started filming. We knew what we wanted to film, but we just started talking to people and film this. And as we tried to put it together into one big thing, it was just too much, right? Like, we were leaving the goods. There was too much good stuff getting left on the cutting room floor. So we midstream, and kudos to Corey and Jenna and Micah, because we changed our method of operation midstream after we had filmed. And we said, you know what, we're going to make a series. So it's a 7-part series. And Corey Heppola is from Perham, which is in Otter Tail County. So he's got a very unique perspective, because he grew up here, he left, he chased his dreams, and now he's got kids. You know what I mean? He lives in the, not that he doesn't love where he lives, but it's different. You know, his perspective has changed now. So this video series is, it's more than a travel series. It's more than a travel video. We try to address some, you know, the urban versus rural divide and some stereotypes both ways, right? Like rural folks in the metro might have stereotypes of people in the rural places, right?
Oh, for sure.
And folks in rural places might have stereotypes of people in the metro.
Probably.
And so we don't, yeah, right? So we don't solve all of the problems, but we at least start the conversation and offer some hopefully entertaining and insightful observations along the way. There is research, there's empirical data that suggests that if you look at rural places and if you get infatuated with total population, maybe total population numbers are going down, maybe they're not. But if you look at age cohorts of 30 to 49 year olds, rural places in general have a net positive gain, right? Kids move away, they get done with high school, they move away, they chase their dreams, they get 30, they have 1.2 kids, and they decide, you know what? This isn't what I want anymore. Now, it was what I wanted, and it wasn't a mistake to leave, but what we're maybe trying to do is redefine the narrative. Going home isn't failure, right? Like, it's not like you're going home with your tail between your legs or to a rural place. You're just deciding, you know what? My life has changed. My perceptions have changed. My wants and desires have changed. And I want a simpler pace of life more than I want that other stuff. And so, yeah. So a lot of what we do at Otter Tail Lakes Country Association is try to position Otter Tail County as top of mind when people are looking for places to relocate to. We've talked about the jobs portal before. I haven't checked to see how many jobs are available in the county today, but last time it was right around 1,000, give or take. So there's 22 community. Yeah, push the button. We'll see. 800. Uh-oh, we're running out of jobs. You better hurry. We're down to 879.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. And these aren't just the thing that I, you know, the one of the misconceptions, we talk about stereotypes. You can be a lawyer in Otter Tail County. You can be a dentist. You can be a doctor. You can, but you don't have to be. Whatever career path you're currently on, I would argue there's probably a job in that field available in Otter Tail County for you.
We just need to get people back to work is probably one of the biggest things right now. But
there's that. There's that. I just control what I can control, Brett.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, too, Eric, is I feel like it's almost cyclical. You know, these kids grow up. They hate living in the small towns. They need to go. There's nothing to do there. It's boring. Or they go to college, you know, in the city somewhere. And then I feel like, especially people that grew up in rural America, after a little bit of big city life, you know, or maybe they're starting a family. They're ready to get back to the small towns again.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, there's a line from a movie, you know, knowing the path and walking the path are two different things, right? So when you're 16, 17, 18, and you're creating this path, and if I get a chance to talk to young people, I'm hesitant to say don't go, right? Like some people say, you know, some people say we need to keep our kids. I'm like, no, let them go. Yeah. Let them chase their dreams. Let them change the world. Whatever, because if they don't scratch that itch, it's always going to be gnawing at the back of them. So those folks that do leave, scratch the itch, they realize a moment of realization, right? Like instead of wondering, they're like, yeah, okay, I think I've done that, been there, done that, check that off the list. I want a simpler pace. I'm going home.
It makes them appreciate coming back. I think that much more when they realize just how much better it is in the country. I'm definitely biased, and I've done it. I went to high school, grew up in the suburbs of the Twin Cities anyway, but spent plenty of time in the big city to know I don't ever want to go near it again if I can help it. No offense to people that are there. That's fine. You guys can have all the big city life you want. It's just not for me.
And you know, to kind of bring it full circle, the thing that I say over and over, I say a lot of things over and over, but one of the things I say over and over is, if it's a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday, and it's nice, I go fishing, right? Like, I don't fight traffic.
Yeah.
I went out last night. I was the only boat at the access, right? It wasn't gorgeous. It wasn't, but I wanted to go fishing. So I went, you know, I got to the lake at 7 o'clock and left the lake at 9 o'clock. It wasn't a big thing that I had to plan. And that's what, for me, that's what rural life gives me is, If I want to go fishing tonight, I'm probably going to go fishing tonight. I should probably mow my lawn, but whatever. you know, and whether you're, and it doesn't have to be fishing. It could, you know, deer hunting, man. Just, you know, you're going to be able to sit in a deer stand pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I can do it in my backyard. I mean, that's been my standard of happy living or being in a place that I want to live is if I can walk out my back door and shoot my shotgun. You know, whether I'm just practicing, whether I'm training my dog, whether I'm hunting pheasants, hunting deer, whatever, or I can walk to my mailbox in my underwear. You know, I apologize for the visual, everybody, because it's a bad one. But I can do that. I can do that here. So that makes me happy because pants, they're just too restrictive sometimes, let's be honest.
Let's be honest. I know a lot of people that start their day, like their work day, right? Like it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They start their day in the deer stand or in a boat or whatever, right? Okay. That you can get a couple hours of hunting or fishing in and then go to work rather than being stuck in traffic for 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what's happening in front of you, right? I've been stuck in traffic a lot in my life, and I've simply ran out. I can't be stuck in traffic anymore.
Well, let's talk. Where did you go fishing, Eric, or what were you chasing around out there?
Well, I can name this lake because it's a pretty big lake. I went to Lake Lida. Lake Lida is up by Pelican Rapids, and I don't fish that lake. This was the second time in my life I ever tried to fish that lake. Lake Lida has smallmouth bass, which I love, and so I wanted to try to find some smallmouth bass, and I don't want to bore you with my problems, but I was having troller motor issues, so I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So it was me and my father-in-law, and I said, you know what, we're going to pull cranks, because that's what our boat can do at the moment, so we're going to pull cranks. And so I was pulling those DT-10s, those big Rapala bass baits, DT-10s and DT-16s. I had two big fish hooked up. They shook them off. I think they were bass. I've never caught bass trolling. But then we just kept working a deeper weed break, 16 to 20 feet, and we stumbled into three nice crappies. We were only out there for, like I said, a couple hours, and the first hour was a bust. But Lake Lida is 5,000 acres-ish. This was when we were out. This is another example, right? Like, I'll just go out and I'll troll cranks, and I think at the moment in this video, I'm trying to deal with a crappie. but you're out trolling crank. Look, I think that night I was pulling, and even last night I was pulling number 7 Berkeley flicker shads. Maplewood State Park is kind of on the south side of it. You've been to Maplewood.
I sure
have. So you know, off in the distance, you can see all those hills and stuff. And we eliminated some dead water and found some productive water, and it was a weeknight.
Well, you can do that when you're rural by choice. See what I did there?
Yes, sir.
Well, where can people learn more about that and, of course, everything else at Otter Tail Lakes Country?
Well, they can find their inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Brett.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.